I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Elizabeth Cunningham. She's editor of the book The Remarkable Women of Taos, and there will be a book launch on Thursday, the 25th of July at 5 at the K-Tau Solar Center in Taos. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much, Mary Charlotte. It's wonderful to be here.
So, Remarkable Women of Taos, there's remarkable people who've been coming to Taos for a really long time. How did Taos become such a magnet for so many remarkable individuals?
Well, I think it probably started most prominently with Mabel Dodge Lujan, who ran one of the most famous salons of the 20th century in America in New York. And she was in touch with all of the movers and shakers, you would say, at the time. She came to New Mexico in 1917, and then all of these other modernists started coming to New Mexico, and she is credited with putting Taos on the map. And some of the folks that came were the painters Marsden Hartley and John Maron, Georgia O'Keeffe. There were writers as well, D.H. Lawrence probably being one of the most famous, and of course Frida came with him, and then a painter, Dorothy Brett, came with the Lawrences on their second trip here. And I think that's probably what got the most notoriety, but there had been a long history of remarkable women in Taos before, centuries before then.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, sometimes there's a kind of Anglo-centrism where you think about all these modernist painters, but of course there are remarkable people living in New Mexico, Hispanic and indigenous people, centuries back, although they might not have sort of highlighted their individuals because they weren't individualist cultures necessarily.
That's correct. And I would say the two that stand out for me among the Hispanic women, of whom we have quite a record because they were both married to famous men in New Mexican history, that would be Josefa Jaramillo Carson, married to Kit Carson, and Ignacia Jaramillo Bent, married to Governor Bent. And they, I think they show the fortitude and strength and I would say tenacity of New Mexican Hispanic women of the 18th and 19th century. Their story is absolutely remarkable, and as you say, we really don't have records of women before then. But as long as we're talking about the legends, there are two in the book. These are women that are no longer with us, women of the past, and one of them would be Virginia T. Romero at Taos Pueblo. She has a women's historic marker named after her and really started introducing micaceous clay pottery as an art form. And she has many people following her today, like Sharon Dryflower Reyna, who makes beautiful micaceous clay sculpture and even has a sense of humor in her sculpture, which are Kusharis doing funny things like eating watermelon and stuff. And they're just the clowns across the cultures of the Pueblo people. They're very funny. And other folks following her lead would be Geraldine Lucero Lujan and then the Track family, who are three generations of clay potters at Taos Pueblo.
Now, how did this whole Remarkable Women of Taos book and set of events and theme come into being?
Well, I was asked to be host of the Mabel Dodge Lujan House blog. It was called Remarkable Women of Taos and launched the first piece in August of 2010. Around that same time, the town of Taos had been having themes. They started in 2009 with the Summer of Love, honoring notable resident Noter and Dennis Hopper in the presence of Easy Rider, and then they had another theme, and they had just announced their 2011 theme around that time, and a question popped into my head and out of my mouth: what if the theme for 2012, our centennial of statehood in New Mexico, were the Remarkable Women of Taos? And I met with then the town of Taos tourism director, Kathy Connolly, and the director of the Harwood, Susan Longhenry, and Janet Webb of Webb Design, who runs the beautiful website for the town of Taos. And within months, the town of Taos had okayed that project, and the Museums Association of Taos had put together a roster of exhibitions, and we were off and running. It exploded from there. And in the whole year of last year, we had 65 exhibitions on women and events that featured over 400 women. And then 167 women were profiled in six categories: legends that we mentioned already, arts, outdoors, business, well-being, and community profiles.
So it's interesting. I mean, I thought at first when I looked at the book it was going to be all creative types, but it's really the whole range of achievement and experience.
It really is. I mean, someone asked me, you know, how has your view of remarkable women changed during this project? And I said, well, now I subscribe more deeply to the dictionary definition, worthy of being noticed. And so for me, that included women that are behind the scenes, who are working under the radar, mothers, wives, marriage counselors for their church, and women who are teachers of traditional ways out at the Pueblo. So those women are part of the warp and weft of our community fabric. And so it's really across the board, across cultures and across the centuries in the book.
You started out talking about Mabel Dodge Lujan. Was she one of those people who kind of made it easier for other women to follow? In other words, for women who really wanted to express themselves and have a voice and be independent to go out west and settle in places like Taos?
I think she did, but I think Taos itself has been forever a place where mavericks hang out. You know, where there are no social constrictions or restrictions. And that's what has, I think, appealed to women and allowed them to really be themselves. And when you live here, even now, it's not the car you drive. It's not Las Vegas. It's authenticity. And I think that's what these profiles offer in the book, is are authentic role models of women. But Taos allows them to be themselves and to find themselves, to reinvent themselves.
So this whole book project, it came about as a result of this centennial theme, Remarkable Women of Taos?
Yes. What happened was in December, I had a little bit of funding left that I'd raised for some of the projects during the year for the Remarkable Women. And long story short, it just seemed a shame to lose that to the ethers, that would disappear, all of this work that had gone into the book from so many people in the community and entities, museums. And for centuries, stories have informed, instructed, and guided human beings, and these stories really serve the same purpose. One of the things that has also grown out of this is to preserve the stories of women. It's a snapshot in time in our centennial year, kind of evening the score. In 1912, I was looking in the newspapers, and they said Governor Seligman and wife. And I said, oh my gosh, we need to know who these women are this in 100 years later. But out of that has grown a fund that from a dollar from the sale of every book will go into the Taos Community Foundation's Remarkable Women of Taos Fund, which is for mentorship and education. And one of the first projects that we have for this is to place books in detention centers, school libraries, state libraries, Taos County libraries, and prisons to reach as many women as possible, to offer them exemplars of how other women have made it.
Who are some of the women you discovered in the process of doing this book who you perhaps didn't know about beforehand?
Well, I had heard for years of Barbara Sayer Harmon, who has been making art for 60 years now in Taos, and her métier is fantasy. And she had been part of Black Mountain College, and out of that I discovered two other women who live in Taos. Actually, I knew of one, Rena Rosequist, who has run Mission Gallery for over 40 years in Taos. And then I learned about Cynthia Hohmeyer, a poet and clay artist. And also, she was with Black Mountain, but then I learned about Cecil Dawkins, who had a friendship with Flannery O'Connor and lived in Santa Fe for a while, in Taos first, and then Santa Fe again, and then back in Taos, and wrote some mysteries. But she also wrote a couple of very serious books, and one on another woman, Frances Minerva Nunnery, who was just a real, had some time in Taos and was just all over the map, ran cattle ranches all by herself, had a used car dealership in Albuquerque, had a real estate market, and really sold a lot of the really prime properties that we know of today in Taos. So she was quite a woman. And then I got to know poets Veronica Golos, who's a witness poet. She speaks for people in Afghanistan and disadvantaged people. And then slam poet Erin Badhand, who just moved back to Taos, who's a performance poet. And then got to know really well a mother-daughter team, their Diné or Navajo, that would be Pat McCabe and Lila Johnston. And both of them are poets, writers, and political activists. They speak for indigenous people and for the environment.
And each one of these has a page or two in this book, Remarkable Women of Taos. Each one is profiled.
Yes, that's right. All of the women that I've mentioned are profiled in the book. And we also have a few from the business category. That would be Chrissia Boynes, who is the founder of Vapor Organic Beauty, a private line of organic makeup and beauty products. And then Carolyn Haddock, who is the owner of the Taos Inn, and she's following in the footsteps of Helen Martin, who started the Martin Hotel, which became the Taos Inn, but she started the Martin Hotel in 1935, so that's a long legacy.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing we see in this book. You see across the generations, you see a lineages.
Well, it's something I've been thinking about lately is that most of us who are alive right now and talking and listening to each other will be completely and totally forgotten 100 years from now. So then you think, well, what is your legacy? Even if your name and your activities are going to be forgotten, something in the way that each person lives could make a mark. And I think when you read a book like this, it kind of lets you know about people who may have been pioneers in ways that didn't make them famous, but nevertheless made it easier for the next person to go on and do something even greater and better.
You're absolutely correct, Mary Charlotte. That is what happens in this book. And I think that, I've been on my knees often at the stories of these women. And taken together, you get an overview of our community. All of the women were asked the same questions, and part of it is what do you think makes a remarkable woman? Who influenced you? Why Taos? What is it about Taos that fosters creativity in women? So all of those questions are the thread that sort of bind the profiles together.
Elizabeth Cunningham is editor of the book The Remarkable Women of Taos, and the book launch is on Thursday, July 25th at 5 o'clock at the K Tau Solar Center in Taos. What's happening at this event?
Well, so far we've got 40 women that are profiled in the book coming, as well as some of the writers and photographers that contributed to the book, and it will be a giant autograph party. Which, if anybody remembers what their yearbook signing was like, where you signed by your photograph, that's what it's going to be like. And I think it's going to be a real fun event. I really do. And we're looking forward to it. And I just want to say, too, appreciation to you all at KSFR, to your program, and to Collected Works, who's the first there in Santa Fe to carry the book.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Elizabeth Cunningham, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
And thank you, Mary Charlotte. It's been a pleasure.